Start your day the Torahway, Northwest London, Tuesday, 29th of Tammuz, 18th of July, Rabbi Yonatan Tawil, Shlita. Raising hope and yearning for Mashiach. This week's Torahway is sponsored by Nishmat Morris, Martel Bas, Rameh, Rafael, Leo Sholem, on his second yard site last Sunday.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, you know, now it's exam period. So we had a young student came up to me, and he said to me, Rabbi, I need your blessing. I said, you need my blessing? He said, yeah, I'm coming up to the exams, and I don't really know what's flying, what's happening. So he said, tell me a little bit about it. He's doing English, and he's studying a book, famous book called Macbeth. He doesn't know what's flying, what's happening, how to answer the questions. I went through a few examples, a few ideas with him. What is he studying? What did the teacher say? The teacher gave us a little bit of a hint. What's going to be inside the exam? And they told us what to learn and what kind of things to look out for, to look out for guilt. So I told him, listen, in the good old days, what we used to do is we used to print out the past papers and look at the different types of questions that you have in the GCSEs and to try and figure out questions and answers, and to go through like that. I said, look at the past papers and see what kind of questions deal with guilt, and we deal with this kind of a section that you're talking about. And I gave him a little bit of a bracha. Who am I to give a bracha? But Baruch Hashem, a few weeks later, he came back to me and said, Rabbi, your eitzah worked. Exactly, I went through these questions, and I found one of the questions, and I studied beforehand, and exactly that question came up. Wouldn't it be easy if you had an exam and you already knew what the question was going to be? And in fact, we all have an exam. After 120 years, we're going to come up to Shamayim, as the Gemara in Shabbat says, and we're going to be asked a few different questions. And one of the questions, we already know what the question is, Tzipita Lishua. Did you yearn for the Geula? Did you yearn for the redemption? Did you yearn for the salvation? It doesn't say, did you believe Mashiach is coming? It says, tzipita, did you desire? And what I want to talk about today is about a little bit about this desiring, embracing the hope and yearning for Mashiach, and understanding a little bit of the concepts around that will enable us to get to that kind of a stage. In 1967, when Am Yisrael was at war, and we recaptured Yerushalayim, the famous scene of the Kotel and the soldiers coming through. On the top of the hill, of one of the hills, were some of the soldiers. And when they saw the soldiers going into the Ir Atika, into the old city, and recapturing, and they heard the voice that it's now, Baruch Hashem, back in our hands after thousands of years, they started to cry. They started to cry. Amongst them was a non-religious soldier. And the non-religious soldier, he didn't put tefillin, didn't keep Shabbat, didn't do kashrut, nothing. No kashrut. And he's looking there crying, tears are coming from their eyes, and he starts to cry. After a few minutes, everyone calms down, the regesh, the feeling goes away. And they look to him and they say, listen, I understand, we're crying because we're putting on tefillin, we're saying techezena einenu b'shulcha letzion. For thousands of years we're davening, we're praying to Hashem. It means so much to us that we've got the kotel. It means so much to us we have Har HaBayit. Why are you crying? And he says, you know, when I saw you guys crying, and I saw that you were crying, I figured I didn't understand why you're crying. And that alone made me cry. I was crying at my own matzav, my own sake, that I don't really know, I'm not feeling it. I was crying. That was why I was crying. Says the Sfat Emet. What do you do if you can't cry over the Churban Bet HaMikdash? Can't cry. Can't get my Rabbi. Can't get myself to cry over the Churban Bet HaMikdash. What do you do? Then you need to cry over the Churban of our neshama that doesn't know how to feel what it means not to have a Bet HaMikdash. That's the kind of thing we need to be crying about. So we know what question we're going to be asked after 120. We know we're going to be asked it. We might not feel it. But today, we're in Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. We're in a time of the 3 weeks, the 9 days. And in Judaism, you have two different types. Firstly, we're mourning the loss of the Shekhinah, and then we're mourning the loss to our people. And there are two types of avelut. What are the two types of avelut? Lo aleinu, lo alam Yisrael, when somebody loses a close relative, they sit shiva. That's the first type of avelut. The avelut of the individual. And then you have the avelut, the mourning of the klal, where we're all mourning for the Beit HaMikdash. What's the difference? Let's look a little bit at the difference. There's a big difference. When it comes to the avelut of an individual, somebody shelo neda has lost a relative. So what do? They sit shiva, 7 days. The first few days are very, very intense. They're meant to be crying. They have to tear their garments. They have to be sitting down on beneath the certain amount of height. They have to make sure that they can't wash, etc. Ooh, shiva! 7 days. After the shiva, when they get up from the shiva, there's this, including within those 7 days, a part of the shloshim. After the shiva, you've got another 23 days, roughly, of the shloshim. The 30-day period. The 30-day period is a bit more relaxed. A little bit more relaxed. They don't have to sit down like that anymore. They can get changed, they can wash, but they don't shave, haircuts, etc. And then after the shloshim, you have the year. In certain cases of avilut, the whole year. What do we notice? We notice that it goes from the chamur, from very, very strict, very, very powerful, to the kal. When it comes to public avilut, annual mourning, it's a bit different. It's going in the opposite direction. How did we start the 3 weeks? Shivasa b'Tammuz, and then you got the 3 weeks. 3 weeks is less chamur than you get to the 9 days. The 9 days is even more stricter. People, depending on the minhagim, people don't have showers, no meat and wine, etc. Then the 9 days, it gets even stronger as you get to Erev Tisha B'Av. And then Erev Tisha B'Av to Tisha B'Av gets higher and higher. There it's going from the kal to the chamur, it's going from the more lenient state, and we're getting stronger. And the question is why? Why is it with the individual avilut it's going one way, and with Klal Yisrael's avilut it's going the other way? When a person is chas v'shalom in private avilut, they're paralyzed with grief. It struck them suddenly. It's a hit. It's a shock. And the avilut process allows us to have an inner meaning so that eventually we're allowed to connect back to society. The beginning, there's a shock. It's happened to that person and it's very difficult and they feel out of society, and slowly, slowly, the shiva, people coming and they're giving them the support, and then there's a shloshim, then there's a shana. Slowly, slowly they can come back into society and they're not overwhelmed by grief and life goes on. When it comes to the avelut that we're in now, the 3 weeks, it's the opposite. Because how many of us find it difficult to get up in the morning because we're so overwhelmed with grief about the loss of the Beit HaMikdash? I mean, it was nearly 2,000 years ago, Rabbi. I mean, what's the connection? Ma'ali v'lazev, how can I feel connected? It happened ages ago. We're so distant, we don't even know what we lost. How can a blind person appreciate color? How can a deaf person understand what it means to hear Beethoven, to hear music? We don't have nevuah. We don't have the hashrat hashchina. We don't need the avelut to take us out of grief. We need avelut to understand what we lost. And that is where we are at now. That is where we are. These are the 3 weeks that we are having. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph, talks about the famous, the Mishnah brings, Barishona haya lulav nital b'mikdash shiv'ah. We all know that the lulav was taken in the Mikdash for 7 days. U'bamedina yom echad. But in the rest of the country, it was 1 day. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't shake the lulav outside of Yerushalayim for more
than the first day. Whereas in Yerushalayim, in the Beit HaMikdash, it was 7 days. Mishachar Beit HaMikdash, Hitkin Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Shehei Lulav Nital, Bamedina Shiva Zechel HaMikdash. Once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, then Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai was metaken 7 days everywhere. Till today, we're doing it 7 days. Says the Gemara, Minolon, Davdinon Zechel HaMikdash. How do you know? And it says, Davdinon Zechel HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, obviously this is Zechel HaMikdash. How do you know this idea of Zechel HaMikdash? We should remember the Mikdash. How do we know we need to remember the Beit HaMikdash? And this is very important. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Damakra, Ki A'aleh Arucha Lach, Umimakotayich, Erpa'ech, Nuhum Hashem, Ki Nidcha, Ki Karu Lach, Tzion Hi Doresh, Ve'en, Tzion Hi Doresh, En La. Doresh, En La, Mechlal, Debaya Derisha. The Pasuk says, Doresh, En La. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that she, Tzion, there is none that seek her. Nobody's seeking Tzion. Meaning, we should be seeking Tzion. How should we be seeking Tzion? Zechel HaMikdash. This is what it means when somebody says Zechel HaMikdash. Now you understand, where's the Makor? Doresh. Because En La, there's no Doresh. When you're shaking the lulav on Sukkot, in fact, what are you doing? You're Doresh Hashem. You're Doresh Hashem, that's what we're doing. Zechel HaMikdash. Pele. We think we're shaking the lulav, we're doing what we're doing. Doresh et Hashem. We're remembering the Beit HaMikdash, that inside the Beit HaMikdash that we're doing for 7 days. That's the Gemara in Sukkot. There's another Gemara, the Gemara in Bava Batra. Gemara in Bava Batra says the following. Tanu Rabbanan, Mishecharav Abayit Bashnia, Rabu Prushin B'Yisrael. When the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Purushim increased. Purushim were people that understood and they were close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and separated themselves from the masses and from the Tzedokin, etc., that were against Hashem and the real Torah mitzvahs. And they increased. Shelo le'echal basar, shelo lishtod yayin. So their practice was not to eat meat and not to drink wine. Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, we're not going to eat meat, we're not going to drink any wine. Nitpa lahen Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua joined them and he discussed. He was discussing, what's this? This is a nice minhag. You're taking upon yourselves meat, no wine. And he said, Banai, mibnei ma I atem ochlim basam, ve'en atem shotim yayin. What's with this? Why are you not eating meat? Why are you not drinking wine? So they answered him, Amru lo, nochal basar shememenu makrivim al gabei mizbeach. We're going to eat meat. But meat is for the Mizbeach. We don't have a Mizbeach anymore. We can eat meat. Can we even eat meat? Put meat into our mouths? When the Mizbeach can't have any meat, there's no Mizbeach. Can we drink wine when there's no Yayin Nesachim? Good argument. So Rabbi Yoshua answered them and he said, that's a great idea. Amaleim im kein. If so, he said to them, so maybe you shouldn't eat bread. Lechem lo nochal. Shekeva badlu menachot. There's no more menachot. There's no mincha offerings. Don't have bread. So they answered him, you know what? You're right. Efshe beperos. We'll eat fruit. We'll eat bread. We'll go on a certain diet. No more. Yeah, bread. No more wheat. We'll eat fruit. So he said to them, perot lo nochal. Shekeva badlu bikurim. Don't eat perot, because what about Bikurim? So they said to him, you're right. We won't eat the perot of Bikurim. There are 7 minim of Bikurim, but we'll eat other perot. Efshev perot acherot. So they said, okay, fantastic. And now Rabbi Yoshua kills it, and he says, Mayim lo nishteh shekva bitel nisuch hamayim. Let's not have any water, because Bitul Nisuch HaMayim, there's no more Nisuch HaMayim. Shatku. They were quiet. Right? So this is what happens over here in this Gemara. Amar lahen, Banai. So now they don't know what to answer. They said, Banai. Bo'u v'omer lachem shelo litabel kol ikai yashar. I can't tell you not to have any avelut, because tachlis, we've lost the Beit HaMikdash. Eshe shekvar nigzar gzera litabel yoter midai yashar. Shen guzin gzera la tzibur. To do too much Aveilut, we can't do. Because The tzibur can't stand this. What are you going to do? Not have meat, not have meat. Why? Not have peru, not have... Well, it can't. The tzibur can't stand such a gezeru. Right? You can't do it unless most of the tzibur can stand by it. And then he says, so what should a person do? We want to mourn. Sad Adam et beto besid umeshayebo dava mu'at. So when you're plastering your house, you leave a little bit. And the Gemara says, what's that? Amar Rav Yosef, ama al ama. That's one ama by one ama. Rav Chista said it should be next to the petach, and that's what we have, the minhag nowadays. Come into the house, you have the ama by ama. That is going to remind us of the Churban Beit HaMikdash. Ose Adam kol tzorkei seuda umeshaye dava mu'at. A person should eat. You make a massive meal, but when you're eating, you leave out a small item to remember the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. You leave out, and you have a beautiful, tell the caterer, everything, I want everything, but just leave out the fish, a little bit, or leave out the hummus, leave out something, Zeichel HaMikdash.
You'd have to tell people, surely, or they wouldn't know.
The Gemara is telling you to know, but you have to, when you're eating, when you're having something, you... as a personal, should leave a small item to remember the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. What's a small item? Says Rav Papa, it's kasa de harsana, the small fried fish. Osea isha kol tachshiteha umshayeret ava mu'at. Similarly, a lady should, you can have all your cosmetic treatments, but you leave a little bit, and then the Gemara goes into it. So the Gemara is given three different understandings how we can remember the Churban. And then the Gemara says the following. It continues, but I'm leaving out a little bit, but it's going to say, V'chol amitabel al Yerushalayim zocher rabba v'simchata, shenema simchu et Yerushalayim. Whoever, obviously, remembers the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is going to see in the future its simcha. Now over here, the Gemara doesn't say, and this is very interesting, the Gemara here says, what's the makor for this? And the Gemara says, the makor for these halachot of leaving a little bit aside and putting the seed is, im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, tidbak lashoni lechiki im lo eskarechi. Says Ramat Tisyor Solomon, I don't understand. The Gemara in Sukkot tells us, Zeichel HaMikdosh is from the pasuk of Tzion Ein Doresh. There's no Doresh. But over here, the pasuk is Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. What's the difference? Why is it bringing a difference? Why doesn't it say the same idea? Why doesn't it say we instituted you to have an ama by an ama because of Tzion Ein Doresh? There's no Doresh. And here is a very fundamental idea. You see, there's a big difference between Zeichel Lechurban and Zeichel Lemikdash. The Gemara in Sukkot is talking about Zeichel HaMikdash. The Gemara in Bava Batra is talking about Zeichel HaChurban. When we are remembering the Churban, so we need to be sad, we need to have this Amma by Amma, we need to leave a little bit of our food on the side, you need to make sure that all the cosmetics are not there, we need to understand, we need to be sad, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. How can we be happy? The Chatan needs to put the Eifer, as the Gemara says, on top of his head. How can we be happy if there's a Churban going on at the moment? Zeiche lechurban. But when it comes to the Gemara in Sukkot, that's Zeiche lemikdash. Why is that Zeiche lemikdash? Because we're happy, we're excited. What are we excited? We're remembering what used to be in the Beit HaMikdash, and we can't wait for it to be. We're hoping, we're desiring, we're looking forward to again shaking that lulav for 7 days inside the Beit HaMikdash. That is Zeiche lemikdash. As a man who's going on hard times. This is the mashal. Hard times. He's losing his business. He's getting evicted from his house. His wife is thinking about divorce. He's sitting on the park bench. He's like this, and then he gets a phone call. Shlomi calls him up, and he says, Yossi, do you understand what just happened? He says, what? Do you remember last week, me and you went into the shop, and we bought a lottery ticket together? He said, yes. Well, guess what? We have just won £100 million. This guy's on the bench. He was thinking about crazy things. He said, he's won £100 million. His whole life turns around. He jumps up with joy. He's excited. He can't imagine What he's going to do with this money, it's turned his life around. Baruch Hashem, he screams. But hold on a minute. Does he have the money in his bank? Has he gone to receive the money? Has he even got it? Has anything really changed yet? No. But he knows he's going to have it. That knowledge of knowing he's going to have it has turned everything on the sun. He's still sad about his past, that he was about to be evicted. But at the same time, he's happy, he's hopeful, he understands he's going to get that 100 million pounds. And that is the zeicher lechurban to the zeicher lemikdash. How do we define a person in Yiddishkeit? What is a person? How do we define a person? How are you defined? The Navi says in Yeshayahu, Masa aduma elai kore meseir shomei mami laila shomei mami lel. Yeshayahu 21:11-12 says, Ama shomei ata boke vegam laila im tevayun ba'ayu, shevu etayu. Said the watchman, morning has come and also night. If you will request, return home. And on that, the Mahari Kara is next to the Mitzudot. He says, Am Yisrael asks Hashem via the Navi, until when will the Galut, until when will this Laila go on? How long are we going to be in this Galut? And Hashem says, Ata Boker, the morning has already arrived. The Gula is already here. So why are we not being redeemed? In Tevayun Ba'ayun. If you will ask him to come, then he's going to come. Shuvu, ask and he will come. So what makes a person into a person? Famous Gemara, we know from the Mishnah already in Bava Kama, Arba Nezikin, there's Arba Avot Nezikin, Hashor, Vahabor, the Shor, the Ox, the Bor, the Pit, Hamav'er, Vahahev'er. The Mav'er and the Hev'er, the Fire. What's Mav'er? Mav'er, Shmuel says it's Shein, is to do with the chewing, is the damage that's done by the chewing. And Rav says it's an Adam. Where does Rav say it's an Adam from? Im tevayu ba'ayu, from this pasuk. Meaning, a person is a person, if what? If he asks for the ga'ula. This is what we're learning today. What makes you into a mensch? If you're asking for the ga'ula. Are you asking for the ga'ula? That's a mav'eh. That's a person that is asking for the ga'ula. There's a guy who was coming to the Rebbe for a bracha. He came to the Rebbe, he was a big banker. And he comes into the Rebbe. Oh Hashem, he gets his bracha, he moves on. About 10-15 minutes later, another guy walks in. He says, Rebbe, I've got 4 daughters to marry off. Baruch Hashem, I've got 100 rubles per daughter for the Nadunya. Everything is okay, everything's sorted. And I just saw even the bank manager on my way in, Baruch Hashem. So I want a bracha that everything should go well and I should find Shidduchim. So the Rebbe said to him, listen, I'm going to give you a bracha, but do me one favor. Tomorrow, take out all the money. So he's like, okay, I came for the, maybe he's thinking I'm going to already be spending it, but Zad Hashem, take out the money from the bank tomorrow. Okay, so he goes the next day, he takes out the money. Hashem, a few weeks passed. Suddenly the guy knocks on the Rebbe's door, he comes in, and he says, Rebbe, he says, yes. He says, I want to give you some Maisa money. He says, Maisa money, how come? He says, yes, 400 ruble, Maaseh, 40 I want to give to the Rebbe. Obviously for the yeshiva, for everything. So he says, my high, what's going on? He says, Rebbe, your advice, Baruch Hashem, how did you know? He said, I don't know what. Said, how did you know that the bank was going bankrupt? Either the guy told you, or I don't know what, you know, maybe you, it's Ruach HaKodesh, you told me take out the money, he went bankrupt, I managed to take out my money before he went bankrupt. He said, I don't know, how. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh, but the guy, bank manager, has been coming to me for 15 years. And 15 years, he's always so proud of his bank. He's talking, yes, I bought this property and that property and I'm going to make a big wedding and da, da, da. Yesterday he came and all he told me is, Be'ezrat Hashem, Mashiach will come soon. When he told me, Mashiach, he hasn't mentioned Mashiach for 15 years. He said, Mashiach is coming. I know things are a bit difficult. Take out your money. Take out your money. Who is a person? A person is im tevayun ba'ayun. A person has to ask for the Mashiach properly. The Yalkut Shimoni in the Torah says, on Parsha Pincha says the following, incredible Yalkut Shimoni, Omar Ablevi, B'chol chodesh v'chodesh v'kayetz, B'kesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu liten Yisrael Moed. Every single month in the summer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a Moed to Yisrael. In Nisan, Pesach. In Iyar, Pesach Sheni. In Sivan, Atzeret, Shavuot. Tammuz. Hayabada toli ten lahem moed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a moed for Tammuz. What happened? Vasu, he wanted to give a moed gadol, a big one, it says. Vasu ha'egel. They made the egel. Ubatel Tammuz va'av ve'elul. Tammuz, Av, and Elul got hit by this egel. One thing led to the other. Ubat Tishri, upara lahem Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha'kippurim v'hachag. Tishri came and took three festivals. Three festivals. We're supposed to have one for Tammuz, Av, and Elul. Comes Tishri and takes the three festivals. There was also a festival for Tishri that was originally supposed to be. That was Shmini Atzeret. That's already in. But here it's saying, it took this. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'acherim upareh v'shelo eino noten... Ten lo yomo biyom hashmini atzeret, etc. The Maor of Hashemesh says, we have now, we're in the 3 weeks. 3 weeks. There are another 3 weeks that are very important. The other 3 weeks are from Rosh Hashanah till Hoshana Rabbah. You have 3 weeks over there from Rosh Hashanah till Hoshana Rabbah. 21 days and 21 days. And he says that these 3 weeks that we're in now are connected to the 3 weeks that were there. And he brings it Kabbalistically. That's why we're always reading Parshas Pinchas now in the Bein HaMetzarim. Why? Because if you look at it, Parshas Pinchas is to do with all the Moadim. Why are we so happy now? Why are we reading about the Moadim, the Korbanot? Read about all Pesach, Shavuot, etc. To make a kli sheyuchal limshoch hakachach b'moadat sukkot. It's in order to make a kli, Kabbalistic, whatever it means to prepare us. This is the kli in order to receive the real vessel, the real bracha at that time. This is the hidden time. The 3 weeks that we're in is the hidden time. But the 3 weeks of Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah, that's the revealed time. And hence, the Avodah Tisal says in Parsha Masay, kol rodefeha hisigiuha ben ha-metzarim, all the rodefeha, all those that are chasing us, they find us where? In these streets, between Tisha B'Av, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. They find us, they hit us, that's why it says, mishenichnas av, mematim b'simcha, don't have any court cases with the goyim now, it's difficult. Says Avodah Tisal, kol rodefeha hisigiuha ben ha-metzarim, listen to this, dahainu, a different understanding, kol mi sherodef, Lahamlich et abore, whoever runs after making a Kodesh Baruch Hu their king, yuchal la'asig yoter dafka b'yamim elu b'ein ha-metzurim. This time now is essential. You can receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's malchut even more now. Where do you see it? Kol rodfe ka. Don't read it kol rodfe ha. Kol rodfe ka. Chase all those that are chasing after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the time that we can become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on this, it says that as follows. Kol amit abel al Yerushalayim zoche ve-ro'eh. The pre-tzadik says, ro'eh. Why is he saying ro'eh? Because when you're mourning, it should say yir'eh, we'll see. When a person is mourning, when a person is desiring, when you have the zeichel l'churban, but you also have the zeichel l'mikdash, and you have the hope, and you have the desire, that kind of a person is living the now, and you are being goel right now. You are connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different manner. You're feeling the gula right, and that kind of person is living the gula. They're living it. And therefore, it doesn't necessarily mean only when you come to the time of Mashiach, even a person who's desiring it now is living now. Says the Shem Shmuel, we learn this. Says an incredible idea. He says, you know, on Shabbat you can't go past the Tchum Shabbat. Right? Can't go past the Tchum Shabbat. Says the Gemara, talks about in Erevin, right? If you can see a landmark, if you can see a property, something at the end of your property, a tree, you can see it, then you're allowed to make your Erev, if you see within a certain amount of space, you're allowed to say that because I can see it, that's my Erev is over there. That's where my staying is going to be. What does that mean? How can a person see something? In other words, what do we see over here? We see when a person can see, when a person can visualize, that's where they are. If you can visualize you're in the Zman HaMashiach, if you can visualize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and bring the Geula, that's where you are. And we'll finish with the story of the Chofetz Chaim. In the 1930s, the Chofetz Chaim received a letter from a Jewish soldier. And he'd been drafted into the Polish army. And he writes to the Chofetz Chaim and he says, listen, I'm in the army. There's no Jews. There's no allowance for religious practice. There's definitely no kashrut. There's no Shabbat. I can barely keep anything over here. What am I supposed to do? And his question was to the Chofetz Chaim. He wrote, how do I survive as an observant Jew in this forsaken place? This is what the Chofetz Chaim answered. He said, if it is impossible for you to keep Shabbat, it's impossible to keep kashrut, or to pray, or to keep mitzvot, don't be discouraged. There's one thing you can and must do. Whenever you have a free moment, speak to Hashem. And whenever you speak to Hashem, face east. Why face east? Because you will be directing your thoughts to Yerushalayim. In so doing, you will reunite yourself with the Jewish people, with Am Yisrael, and with Hashem. In fact, whenever a Jew faces Yerushalayim, he is in Yerushalayim. And this is what it is about. When we're desiring, when we have that bikesh, when we have that understanding of Zecher, Lachurban Bazecher LaMikdash, when we desire Mashiach, when we desire the Gula, then we are in the Gula. Zad Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, should bring the Gula, Bimheira, Biyameinu, and we should celebrate. Amen, v'amen.
Go ahead.